Chapter 1. The Economy Got Us. Bolt holes. That was the main concern, the only concern really, of one of the senior executives at General Motors, right after the company emerged from bankruptcy. The White House had just appointed me chairman, so I was asking senior management to talk to me about their concerns, as well as their future hopes for the company. That was this manager's response to my query, that he only cared about one thing, making sure all the holes are in the right places. I had no idea what he was talking about, to be perfectly honest. I was new to General Motors and didn't know a lot about cars. But I figured this must be important, otherwise he wouldn't have been making such a fuss. So I asked him to explain. Turned out he was referring to the placement of holes for bolts on the car chassis as it rolled through the assembly line. This person, a senior manufacturing executive, said it was a constant struggle for him to get the people responsible for drilling the holes to put them in the right places. Without proper alignment, he explained, the bolts which hold the chassis and other components to the frame don't go in the way they're supposed to. He was really fired up about this bolt hole thing, I could tell, because the more he talked about it, the more worked up he got. I did my best to keep a poker face on, but inside my reaction was pretty much this. Wow, I mean, come on. Government Motors was now the biggest failure in America. Taxpayers were upset because they were footing the $50 billion bailout tab. Employees were upset because they weren't sure if they'd have a job 3 months out. The longtime CEO had just been shown the door. Sales were anemic, dealers were filing lawsuits left and right, and all of this was making the future of America's number one car maker a question mark at best. And the only thing this guy cared about or worried about or wanted to talk about was bolt holes. And yet this was the state of General Motors right after bankruptcy. It was as if the entire Chapter 11 proceeding had just been some sort of messy misunderstanding. Not our fault. Not our problem. That was the general feeling and attitude inside GM's Detroit headquarters. Even worse, there was little sense of urgency that I could detect. No larger sense of purpose. The new GM was just like the old GM, except it was smaller and had $50 billion in taxpayer money to keep it going for a while. It was a big slug of money, in absolute terms, but not a lot for a $150 billion a year enterprise like GM that burns through billions in expenses every single month. If GM management continued down the same path with no course correction or strategy, it could easily run out of money again. That would put the company right back where it started, in bankruptcy, looking for a financial lifeline. The American people had generously stepped up the first time with $50 billion. GM might not be so lucky the second time around. But to hear GM management talk, and I was getting an earful as the new chairman, the collapse wasn't their fault. It was due to some combination of bad luck, bad timing, and bad circumstances. In other words, bad management had nothing to do with it. The economy got us, one executive told me. His comment stayed with me like gum stuck on the bottom of a shoe. I will always remember that quote. All across the company, I soon discovered, managers had whole sacks of excuses and justifications as to why they thought GM had gone off the rails so hard. The union got us. Gas prices got too high. The Japanese yen went soft. I heard that one a lot. The list went on and on. One executive told me with a completely straight face that the only reason GM went broke was because we didn't sell enough cars and we ran out of money. I thought he was kidding. He wasn't.